Buzz.com.
This is the morning brief from the Economic Times, produced in collaboration with Awaaz.com.
Many state and national boards have cancelled or postponed their final exams, but the students do not have any clarity on what basis then will they make it to the colleges or higher studies of their choice.
How are the marks going to be given? When will be the results announced? What if I don't get into the college I want? This year, my marks are not going to be a result of my efforts. They are not going to be something that I earned. Rather, I would be just given the marks.
You heard Sarjana Modak, a student affected by changes in the board exam schedule. But what about the parents, the equally concerned party?
See, we have written a mail to Education Ministry and I have also written a letter to PMO. And after that, they took intervention, they intervened and they have taken decision for 10th board students. But as far as 12th is concerned, they have not yet taken any decision for 12th board. So we are doing again some campaign as requested by several students from across India, 12th board students especially. We have already written letters regarding the same to the Education Minister as well as our Prime Minister.
That was Anubha Srivastava Sahai, President of India Wide Parents Association, on how the parents have picked up this cause on behalf of their children. While students have been for a year and more grappling with online studies, probably the biggest brunt amongst them is being borne by class 10th and 12th students who are stuck in a limbo of sorts. I'm Devina Sengupta and you're listening to The Morning Brief. I talked to Sushil Dhankar, spokesperson for National Independent Schools Alliance, Adarsh Khandelwal, CEO Collegeify, which specializes in admissions abroad, and Disha Nawani, Dean and Professor of School of Education at the Tata Institute of Social Sciences, to understand the massive lacuna that these students are staring at and how it is leading to worry in the midst of a pandemic. Sushil, let me start with you. Just help us understand, what does this decision actually mean and how will the students get graded then?
Look, actually, Devina, there is, no formal plan issued by CBSE or that there are no directions from CBSE, like what method we have to adopt to grade the students, like whether we have to consider pre-board exams or just the internal assessments like, subject enrichment activities, etc.
Okay, but Adarsh, is not just CBSE, right? ICSE has also come out with this decision of postponing the exams. And also, interestingly, some of the state boards have not taken a call yet. So they are still saying that they will go ahead with their exams. And some of the state boards have said they are postponing the exams. So this is a complete chaos, right?
Yeah, because, students are in big dilemma. CBSE has cancelled, couple of state boards have cancelled the exams, rest are waiting to review the situation actually. The students who have worked hard the entire year, they are feeling demotivated because working hard for the entire year and then suddenly you come to know that there will be no exams.
Right, and of course it may not be the exam per se, but also because this exam holds a ticket for their future ahead. Adarsh, how does this decision regarding board exams affect the admission process in colleges and professional courses after the class 12?
It's definitely an unprecedented situation, right? However, students who are in grade 12 at the moment, the results from colleges abroad, offers have already rolled out, right? Now, obviously, a lot of these offers are dependent on the results when you write your board exams and the score you get. So there is something called a conditional offer. We've been speaking to universities overall, and all the universities in the ecosystem are extremely supportive, right? Because extraordinary measures has to be taken. So universities are waiting for directives from the government, from the CBSE. An interesting development in the IBDP space or the Cambridge Assessment Exam space is that they are using their internal assessment, the high school grades, the final results as a metric to be able to promote the student overall.
So when you say IBDP, you obviously mean the International Baccalaureate Diploma Program, right?
That's correct.
Okay. But here, what I wanted to understand, Adarsh, is that when you say that globally, students have already been offered for, that is only for those who want to pursue their higher studies abroad.
Yes.
This means that the internal marking in school has been taken into account, correct?
That's correct.
But it is not just about the students going abroad. If I come to you again, Sushil, is that what are the issues that schools have been facing when it comes to other competitive exams, which is not just about stepping abroad, but your JEE, your medical entrance exams? These are for students who are passing out from class 12. What about them? There has been no consensus there, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Students are in big dilemma. You know, because if you see online classes also, if someone is taking online classes are just a substitute of real-time teaching when students comes to classroom. And, you know, students are preparing, they are in doubt, they are in dilemma that whether they have to prepare, whether they have to not prepare. So, I mean, studies are being affected and the admission process or, you know, sitting in a competitive exam, everything is, you know, the students are in big confusion. So, government should come out with clear directions that this is going to happen. You know, maybe after 2 months, your internal assessments or competitive exams will be your percentage from the exams, board exams would be considered. So there should be clear directions from the government side.
Correct. So there is absolutely no clear direction from the government side. Disha, when we spoke to the Parents Association, they also had brought up their issues. Parents are pushing for exams. I understand in India, where you have millions passing out every day, these exams are extremely crucial. What drives this obsession with exams in our country?
Yeah, so Devina, the parental anxiety over examinations has to be placed in a larger context. And board exams have played a very important role in eliminating students more than selecting students. So when opportunities are less, the rewards are fewer and there are more aspirants. If you look at an education system, right from the time you enter school, you're kind of reminded, you're constantly told that, like, you know, you have to ultimately prepare for the board exams, which are considered to be impartial, neutral, fair way of assessing your learning. Parents will be anxious because that's the way they've studied, that's the way the children are studying. If you look at school education, everything is geared towards preparing students for examination. And it's not necessarily learning that is tested. It's a certain strategy to crack the exam. Then there are opportunities and linked to the result of the examination.
Right. So that's important because, again, our curriculum, which all of us have gone through, is never testing our learning. It's just about that day, those 2 hours, how do we fare? And if those 2 hours we mess up, then it impacts our future. Sushi, Disha mentioned, what are the issues schools have faced during the lockdown and what are the challenges you foresee regarding teaching and exams?
Look, for initially when the pandemic, you know, when the lockdown started in the 22nd of March 2020, the teachers have to shift gears and adopt the new technology. Even the parents were not habitual of, using Zoom or Google Meet or Microsoft Teams. Teachers adopted in a very beautiful way the technology, because there are teachers who were 55 years of age, 58 years of age, or above 50 or above 45, who were not very friendly with the technology. But it's very appreciable how they have adopted with the technology. Second challenge which schools faced in terms of, you know, online teaching, if we say, was the attendance of the students. In the beginning, parents were also very eager to learn and take the online class. Students were very eager to take the curious about online classes. So first, the initial 2 months were very good in terms of attendance. But after July, the attendance started dropping. And teachers have to rigorously, they had to counsel the parents also, counsel the students also, that it is very important so that your child can stay occupied during the day.
But Sushil, you've highlighted this crux where, you know, the challenges in teaching has been brought up in many instances. But India is very vast and there's a lot of disparity economically in this country. So everybody does not have access to a room, to a smartphone, to internet. And when you have a situation where they might have to appear for boards, naturally they were all willing to go to the center or school and take an exam. But do you think now states which are going ahead with the exams, they will have to rethink the strategy? Because how will you get students to appear for a board exam in the midst of a pandemic?
There are a lot of ways, you know, exams could have been conducted in February or March when the cases were really low. If a center capacity is like 200 students per day, we can allot them only 50 students or maybe 60 students. So there are ways to conduct these examinations. Government should have taken a step, or all the other boards should have taken an early step to conduct the examinations. But everyone was in, you know, wait and watch situation. But currently at this particular moment, it would be very difficult to call the students for written examination.
Adarsh, when you are advising the students who are in their 12th with respect to future studies, what is the kind of advice you're giving in the midst of pandemic? Do you suggest that they go out and go ahead with their studies? What are you suggesting?
So students who are in grade 12 who've got an offer from an American or an European institution, they need to get in touch with the universities and let them know what the present situation in their country is with their boards vis-a-vis the visas. So we are just advising students to get in touch with the desired institutions and make them aware. And the universities are, you know, flexible in terms of waiting and allowing the universities and institutions and students to, you know, take that time and understand how the government is going to advise and, you know, what will happen.
Adarsh, this year has seen the highest number of applications for students going abroad, right?
There's a very large number of, you know, student base who is now interested to all of a sudden pursue their masters. Primarily because education outside is more organized. Their systems are in place when it came to even the pandemic last year. Colleges started online classes immediately. The pivot of hybrid model was also adopted pretty much the end of first quarter.
Adarsh, could you explain the hybrid model to our listeners?
Hybrid is when the colleges announced that you can also come to campus and do classes, and you would also have a virtual setup. So based on your, you know, days and assignments, if there is an important lecture, they were welcoming students for a socially distant possible class. All the measures and norms were adopted. And also they did virtual learning. So all the students in the ecosystem in the US pretty much continued the entire semester from India. And within no time, they made the changes with the, you know, with the visa policies. Students were allowed learning from home. And the overall learning did not get disrupted because of pandemic, and students continued. This January, the moment things were better in India, a lot of these students left. This year, Columbia, UPenn, Harvard, Yale, Princeton received the highest number of applications in the history of admissions, right? And the acceptance percentages further went down. I mean, it went down to below 2%, and students were getting rejected. Even like a policy at a larger level, for example, SAT, which is an important metric for a student to get admission in the United States after their class 12, became optional.
Disha, top universities are scrambling to simplify admission processes and adapt to the demands of the pandemic so that they can continue to receive international students, you know, who typically bring in more in terms of fees. But contrary to expectations, the demand for a degree abroad seems to have become even more invaluable commodity in these times. You know, and Indian boards are still struggling to mount a united defense and simplify the lives of students. What are the gaps that have been staring at us and we have been ignoring all these decades, but now need to be rectified right away?
Unfortunately, see, we are still obsessed with assessments. Everybody is talking about assessments in a certain manner and how that can be quickly replaced with another alternative way of measuring student learning. And that's really sad because nobody's talking about learning. Most people, when they talked about this whole business of shifting to online learning, they were largely talking about mode through which you reached out to the student. So WhatsApp, I mean, the curricular framework remained the same, syllabus remained the same, and we're largely talking of memorizing content from the prescribed textbooks, right? So nobody's talking about learning, which needs to happen, and how learning needs to be foregrounded, not assessment. There are no quick fix solutions. If you talk of assessment, there has to be reforms in other spaces as well. So curriculum, pedagogy, the agency of teachers, students. You can't look at assessment in isolation.
Right. But this is definitely a huge learning experience because these challenges going ahead are going to come and come unannounced. And if this is how the machinery breaks down, where we don't understand the disparity in the country and still go ahead making ad hoc decisions, we are playing with the future of the students. Those who have access to a smartphone or internet are a very small minority in our country today. Thank you, Sushil, Disha and Adarsh, for highlighting how the pandemic and the lack of consensus amongst the different stakeholders in the education system have made it so difficult for students appearing for their boards. I'm Devina Sengupta and you've been listening to The Morning Brief. This episode was edited and coordinated by Anjali Venugopalan and Bhavya Dilip Kumar. I hope you enjoyed listening to the episode. Do send in your feedback to themorningbrief@timesgroup.com and share the episode on your social media networks. The Morning Brief airs every Tuesday, Thursday and Friday. Thank you for listening in and have a nice day ahead.
Avaaz.com